Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
We're excited right now to get on the Rood guest hotline. Rood makes the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. And talk to Mr. John Jansen, former Redskin. John, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing okay. B. Mitch, how you doing, man?
I'm good, brother. You still blocking everybody coming your way?
Hey, no one gets in my way.
Oh, yeah, man. How you been, man? How you been?
I'm doing good, and obviously happy to come away. Now that I'm in Detroit, come away with a win. So things are looking good, but I feel for my Commanders, getting a little beat up over there physically. A lot of injuries, so it was a tough watch.
See, John, I want to ask you that, because like, I know how I talk about injuries and things, and I'm always believing the next guy step up, because hell, that's how I got my job. You understand how injuries can affect the football team. You watch it last year there in Detroit. They had tons of injuries, but they were able to withstand a lot of it because that team was built over the 4 or 5 year period. Washington, in his second year of a rebuild, having all these injuries, how does that affect the football team?
Well, I mean, it affects it because, you know, I mean, if you've been at it for 4 or 5 years, right, and you've put all your resources, whether it's through free agency, through the draft, and this is where those third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round picks all start to create depth. And you're not going to hit on all of them, but if you've had 4 years to build up that depth and the culture of the guys that you're trying to bring in, and they understand after their third year, maybe they haven't had any time on the field, yet you've kept them around, and they've been up and down on the practice squad. They've seen other guys make that trip from practice squad to roster to playing to then getting paid. You know, it just takes time, and you do have to have that next man up mentality, and you've got to be ready because, and B. Mitch, you know this. You don't know when your time is going to come, mm-hmm. and it may be you're second on the depth chart, you're third, you're fourth, you're on the practice squad. All of a sudden, rash of injuries happen at a position. You're called upon, and you better be ready, because if you're not, that opportunity may not come around again.
Totally.
John, obviously you had a ton of success here. You're back in Detroit, you know, doing all sorts of media with the University of Michigan, the Detroit Lions. Started 123 games here. The organization must mean something to you. When you watched that thing last night, how shocked were you by Washington's defense?
Well, I think the thing I was most disappointed in is just the lack of discipline. And whether it's, you know, Deron Payne, and I understand frustrations, you know, whether it's him, you know, punching a guy in Amon-Ra St. Brown, you know, it's just I hate to watch a football game where there's a lack of discipline and then there's a lack of physicality. If you're going to lose at the line of scrimmage, and hey, I know everyone's beat up at this time of the year, but you could still go out and play a physical brand of football. Mm-hmm. And like I always use the basketball analogy. Your shot may not always be there, but you can always play defense and you can always be physical. You can always rebound. Like, those are the things that you have to count on every single game. And to see that it wasn't there, that they were getting pushed around, it hurts. And I do have a lot of loyalty still to the Washington franchise, because I spent a decade there, and I hate to see a team get pushed around like that.
They sure did last night. You mentioned the pain thing. Did you, talking with folks from the Detroit side, the folks here claim St. Brown maybe threw a punch earlier that didn't get flagged. Did you see anything, notice anything, or is that kind of just football to you?
I didn't see it, so I'm obviously watching the TV copy. You know, and if he said if it happened a couple of plays earlier, I mean, watching the replay of his hit on Amon-Ra St. Brown, it appeared to me like Amon-Ra was 2 or 3 feet away or 2 or 3 yards away walking by, and he took the uppercut. If it happened a couple of plays earlier, I can't speak to that. I didn't see it. Doesn't mean it didn't happen. But B-Mitch, you and I both know they never get the first guy.
There you go.
It's always the guy that comes back at you. So it's so early in the game, too. Like, you're going to get another drive. You're going to get another chance to take a shot at a guy legally on the field. That's when you have to do it, because your time will come.
Yeah. Amen. I see that totally. The thing about it, like, we sit up here, and then we have a lot of people questioning, like, the scheme of the defense and different things on the team. You spoke about, you know, go out, play with some energy, play with, you know, some type of force. Speak on that, about players just having that mindset. Well, I don't care what if the coach give me a bad scheme, I'm gonna make the play work.
Yeah, I mean, you go out there and, you know, I mean, every guy knows that some guys are a little bit more comfortable than others in terms of contract, how much money they've made, but your name's still on the back of that jersey. And you're putting on film what you want 31 other teams to see, that fans around the country are going to be watching. This game was at 4:20. There's only a couple other games going on at that time. Every single individual fan wanted to see the Commanders and the Lions. I wouldn't be surprised if it's the highest rated game in that time slot, just because of what happened in the playoffs last year. And you knew Detroit was going to come loaded for bear. That hurt to lose the way that they did in the postseason. So whether or not Jaden Daniels was going, whether or not, you know, Terry McLaurin was going, it doesn't matter. You've got to go out there and continue to perform every single time, no matter if you like the scheme or if you don't. If you're bummed that your quarterback's out, it doesn't matter. You're still going to play the game. You're still going to tee it up, and you're going to play 60 minutes.
John, specifically last night, Detroit seemed to get anything they wanted in the run game. Were you surprised just how efficient Detroit was with Gibbs and on third downs? I mean, their offense was just unstoppable, and it had been relatively clunky for the last month or so.
Well, it had been, and the surprise that I found out early was that Dan Campbell was calling the plays. That has been John Morton been calling the plays. Dan took that over early in the week. And so I wasn't surprised that the offensive line came out and played the way that they did, simply because, you know, when they played against Minnesota a week ago, they got worked over. Yeah. And that was the worst I'd seen that offensive line play probably in 3 years. Not the standard that, as fans, we've become accustomed to see it. And Hank Fraley and B. Mitch, I know you know Hank from your time at Philly.
Yes.
He's a very prideful guy. You know that there were some sour feelings for 7 days in that room, and they were. It wouldn't have mattered if it was Washington, if it was L.A. It didn't matter who it was. They were going to come out and make someone pay for it. I was just surprised that Washington didn't know that that's how they were going to come out. You challenge a team. You put their backs up against the wall. You make them look bad. You know, even if you weren't the ones that did it, they're going to come out scratching and clawing and fighting.
And they sure did last night.
They did that.
John, we appreciate you making time for us, man. Everybody should check out John on weekday mornings on 97.1 The Ticket in Detroit. There's still a lot of love for John Jansen here in Washington, man. Thank you for the time.
Yeah, my shoulders. Thank you.
Hey, thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it. You guys take care, and I'll just take a quick moment. I'm going to be out there for the Maryland-Michigan game.
Oh, nice.
Always love to see Washington fans stop by, say hi, and I love the fans. So I miss you guys, but I'll see you guys soon.
All right, everybody go check out John Jansen in College Park when the Terps take on the Wolverines. Give him a follow at JohnJansen77. Remember he played like half a season with two broken thumbs? Yeah. I remember John Madden always circling
John and James Jenkins, bro.
Tough guys.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Phones are lit up. We're also going to give away tickets to that Terps-Wolverines game that John was just referencing. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitchell Finley.
On air and on the road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Lincoln and Chantilly, and Ted Britt Chevrolet.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed-sponsored jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed-sponsored jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.
At Sterling, all home to Ted Britt for life. Lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at TedBritt.com.
He's on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Our buddy Jay Gruden, former head coach in town. Jay, let's just start with yesterday's game against the Lions. They get doubled up again, 44-22. Detroit went for 546 yards. That has not happened here since right before you were a coach in 2013, in the last year of Mike Shanahan. What'd you see?
Well, it was just dominating, pure domination on both sides of the ball. You know, Coach Campbell said it best. He could have called anything in that game, and it probably would have worked. It didn't matter who called plays for Detroit. You know, when you own a line of scrimmage like that, you're getting that type of movement with the backs that Detroit has and the type of passer Jared Goff is and the weapons that they have on the outside, it's going to be a long day, and it was a long day.
What do you say? I mean, as a coach in the locker room postgame, I'm sure you've tried at this point, Jay, if you could put yourself in Dan Quinn's shoes, a number of different approaches during this five-game slide, four games that have been historically uncompetitive. What do you say after a game like that?
Hey, good job. We held them to 44. I don't know. I think they should have scored 70. But I don't know. You just got to try to keep the morale going because you have a game in Madrid this week coming up, and you got to try to figure out a way to rally the troops and put a competitive product on the field and beat the Miami Dolphins coming off a huge win against Buffalo yesterday. So it's about moving forward and not looking back. You got to correct the mistakes and try to find the people in there that are going to compete for next week and the games to come and just try to figure out a way to get these guys going because right now, you know, you can see a lot of heads down, a lot of unnecessary fighting after plays and all that stuff. They need a spark somehow, and they got to get a win, and they got to be competitive.
Jay, if they have another really bad defensive performance this week against Miami, you've got a bye week coming up. Would you, as the head coach, make a DC change at that point?
Well, the head coach is the DC, from what I understood. I think he's the one calls the defense. I don't know, but maybe Joe Witt is. They probably should do something. Maybe Coach Quinn, if he's not taking it over right now, maybe he takes it over for good. And then wait till next year, try to find somebody else in there. But they got to make a change somehow, some way. I don't know if it's defensive coordinator or what. Maybe it's personnel related. But right now, I don't know what defensive coordinator you could bring in there that would be effective with the players that they're playing with right now.
In terms of the NJ Gruden with us here on GND, people are now, it's not fair probably to be able to, you know, post a 3-second clip or whatever, right, that you can find off the internet or off game film or otherwise. But there's plenty of them going around, Jay, where guys don't look competitive. You know what I mean? Where it's like making business decisions or sort of getting out of the way, whether it's not playing sound or otherwise. What can a coach do at this point when it seems like guys have checked out to a degree?
Yeah, I think you got to move those players and play somebody else. There's got to be somebody on your roster that can step in and play. If guys are turning down tackles and not pursuing to the football, that's not Coach Quinn's style. And if you're not playing to Coach Quinn's style and the way he wants to coach players, and his whole preaching methodology is about hustling, hitting, and pursuing to the football. And if they're not doing that, he's got to get the players in there that'll do that for him.
Can you remember a time where it was this easy? Seeing an offense move the ball on a defense. I mean, it's one punt in two games, but guys are just naked open. I mean, I've never seen anything like it.
It's really hard. You know, they try to do some five-man pressures, play some three deep fire zones, and one time they threw a flat route to Jahmyr Gibbs for a gain of 15, and in the same drive they tried the same blitz, and the linebacker overplayed it, and Gibbs ran an option route for a walk-in touchdown, and Amoner's wide open. Yeah, they're trying. They just don't have the people to cover and end up and blitz. And like I said last week, I said you're kind of snake bit if you just play cover two or cover four, and then they're going to gash in the running game. If you come up and play any kind of fire zone or rush five or six, they're going to throw it down your throat. So they're in a tough spot right now. They're in a really, really tough spot about how they're going to stop somebody. And then next week they got to stop a guy that just had 200 yards of line of scrimmage offense, Devon Achane. So good luck with stopping him next week.
While Jay joined us, Dan Quinn began his press conference today. I'm going to play this clip from you because he actually did just tell reporters that he's taking over coordinating the defense, Jay. So you'll hear this for the first time that we're hearing this. Let's listen to it.
You know, when something's not working, we shift from the question of why isn't it working to what do we need to do to get right? And right now that'll call for some change. And I'll take over the role as the defensive coordinator and all that entails. Known Joe as my right-hand man for years, and he took the news like the pro he is. As a defensive staff, including Joe, we're all consumed by getting it right.
So there's Dan Quinn saying he becomes the DC. I guess that means Joe Witt stays on staff. So what does that look like, do you think, in terms of a structure change, Jay?
I think very similar to what Dan Campbell did last week. He took over the play-calling duties over Johnny Morton, and Johnny Morton's still going to be active in the game plan. Approach doing red zone, third down, whatever he needs to do to try to get the plays in. And so Dan can have a smooth transition to calling plays. And I think Joe Witt will have a similar type of deal. You know, what are we going to do on third down? How are we going to do stop short yardage, goal line, red zone? All the situational football, I'm sure Joe will be still very involved with. It's just a matter of now Dan Quinn's going to be calling the plays and trying to get the guys going on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Jerry, are you surprised it took this long for anything to happen? I mean, they didn't trade anybody. They just changed seats for Joe Witt, you know, after one of the worst stretches ever over three games. And this is the fourth game. Finally, that was a bridge too far. But are you surprised they didn't make any other real adjustments?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I think maybe Dan Quinn saw the personnel and said, I don't want to call defenses with this group. That could be part of it. That he's going to be forced to. They got Miami and Minnesota coming up and teams that are not quite as explosive as Detroit. But yeah, and Dallas. So, you know, this is a tough situation for everybody involved. You know, the fans are calling for some kind of change. So Dan's got to, you know, he's got to step up and do something. And I think he made the right call by keeping Joe on staff and calling defenses himself.
How much do you expect to change? And I guess that's another way of asking, how much of a problem is what they're calling as opposed to the players on the field not being good enough to make plays?
Well, that's kind of where I'm at with it. You know, I kind of probably stick up for coaches a little bit too much because I know how hard it is when the players are deficient in a lot of areas. And what position group do you think is better than average on the defense? I don't think there's anything, right? The defense, the pass rush is way below average as far as NFL standards. The linebacking crew is older. You know, they take out Frankie Luvu, moved into defensive end, so now their linebacking crew is weaker. Their secondary is weak. So I don't really know what you can hang your hat on other than the fact that they're going to have to play their ass off on every single snap. And that's kind of what they did last year. They did some good things last year as far as effort and motivating. And with Jaden Daniels, after they knew they always had a chance to win, so they really were really involved in the game. Then they get down now, they get behind, and everybody's hanging their head and there's no effort. So they got to get back to that point where they're hustling and hitting on every single snap, and hopefully Dan Quinn can bring that style of defense to what he's accustomed to, you know. Although the last game he called, I think, was probably against Green Bay when they put up 50 in the playoffs. So I don't know. It's going
to
be tough.
Yeah, don't watch that game for motivation. But going back to Monday, October 13th, almost a month ago, basically, right? We're a couple days shy of that. They didn't play great, but it wasn't a disaster against Chicago. They should have won it. Sloppy game, but they had the ball. A situation that we would take every single time. Daniels fumbles. The rest is history. Chicago goes on to win. It starts to slide from there. When you were a coach and you're watching that slide happen, I know you can feel it. I mean, you're there, you're in the building, you can see it happen, you see the bad habits, you see some of the game tape not sort of matching up with the rhetoric. How do you put a stop to it? What's the best way to kind of stand up and say, this can't go on, and somehow it's not only gone on, but it's gotten worse?
Yeah, first of all, I think you got to, you know, the guys got to have thick skin. And in the meeting, you got to point out the things, some of the effort plays the guys aren't putting their best foot forward. And you got to show these guys in front of everybody and kind of embarrass them, so to speak, in front of their teammates so they make sure they don't allow that to happen. I mean, there's a standard set. Coach Quinn's got to have that standard met every single day at practice and in games. And when it's not being met, I think you have to address it head on. You know, a lot of people are scared to do that. They don't want to offend anybody nowadays. But I think you got to really get down in these guys' face and show the plays that aren't commander worthy. You know what I'm saying? So they got to really get into these people's face and make sure they understand, here's how we're supposed to play. You're not doing this. You're loafing on this play. And just get out. He's got to get on their ass, and that's for sure. Because it's gonna be a long trip to Madrid or wherever the hell they're going. They gotta play hard, and they gotta take a long look at the mirror, each individual player, and they gotta believe in the system, and they gotta go out and produce.
Jay Gruden on Grant and Danny here on the Fan. Offensively, they scored 22 points yesterday. They've been averaging 14 over their last three. There are actually a couple things I liked that they did pretty well. They still didn't run the ball effectively, but they got their vertical passing game going finally. We've been asking for that. They hit on some big chunks, 37 to Treylon Burks, 30 to Ertz, 41 with a long A-dot on a post to Lane, 19 down the sideline to Debo. And they also got some guys wide open on the goal line, Jay. Debo Samuel's touchdown was easy. You know, nobody around him when he caught it. And same on the other touchdown catch yesterday as well for Ben Sinnott. What did you see from Cliff in the passing game, finally getting that vertical game going?
Yeah, I think, Marcus is a good quarterback, good backup quarterback, and they did some different things formationally and got some people and hit some zones and things of that nature. So, yeah, I think it was pretty solid offensively. The problem is when you're giving up all these points, you're seeing pretty traditional zone coverages by Detroit. I don't know, you're playing from behind. You should get some people open eventually, but they have to really do a better job of running the football somehow, some way to keep that defense off the field. I do like the fact that they did hit some shots, like you mentioned, to Burks and Ertz and all that stuff. That's going to be necessary next week, but they got to get the running game going. You know, the Kroski Merritt guy has not been effective. Rodriguez is okay between the tackles. But we got to get the running game going somehow.
Why is it continuing to struggle, running game?
I don't know. They started out trying the three tight ends with a couple big people in there and trying to pound it, which I thought was a good idea because if you don't have a lot of receivers, don't put a lot out there. Put one out there, maybe two at the most, and play some more multiple tight end sets or big people and try to, hammer Detroit's front, and they've had some injuries up front and try to, maintain the ball and get some bootlegs at Mariota out there and things of that nature. And I think they tried that early, got away from it, and then they got down, so they had to throw the ball out, and then Cliff did some good things of getting some guys open, like you mentioned. So, but I think moving forward for them to have any kind of success, they got to get some kind of running game going to keep that defense fresh.
Jay Gruden on Grant and Danny, our weekly appointment with him. He's hopping on a plane this afternoon, so we're having him on a little earlier than we normally would. What's the worst stretch you remember in terms of either banging your head against the wall or just feeling lost or kind of feeling like, oh, no, the walls are caving in? Was it at the end in that 0-5 start?
Well, the 0-5 is the obvious answer. That was pretty terrible. But, I think when we lost Alex Smith and we had such high hopes of winning that division, we were 6-3 at the time, and then Colt went down, and we finished 7-9. I was like, what are we going to call? Sanchez has been here for a week, and he struggled mightily, went to Josh Johnson. We got a win out of there, but still, it's just really hard. You feel handcuffed when you don't have your best players out there, and it's hard to compete. But, especially when you think you had a chance to really do something special that year, and you lose a lot of good players, it's like really, really frustrating.
I just kind of clarifying some stuff before here. Did you ever have to kind of take over when something wasn't going great? Like if you had an OC or a defensive room wasn't working, so you offered your services basically to help out in a certain way. Did you ever have to do something like that with a coach?
No, I was always very involved in offense, obviously. That's
right.
Kind of what my forte was. We had, I'd call plays my first year, and I let Sean do it. And then I called him for a while, and I let Kevin do it a little bit. So we kind of just worked hand in hand. A matter of who's talking to the quarterback or not. And those guys were very active with them every day for hours and hours. So I let them continue the communication. But I called a lot of plays anyway. But for the most part, defensively, I kind of let them do what they had to do and try to help whatever needed. We made some changes. We, got rid of Hazlitt the first year, and then we, moved on from Coach Barry, and never really quite got the defensive side of the ball right, but I tried.
To that point, how involved do you, just based on your knowledge of being on the headset and a head coach, is Quinn anyway? In terms of like a departure, I would imagine he's got the Motorola on. If Witt's calling something in he hates, is he overruling him, or is he saying, no, we're not doing that here anyway? Like, isn't he already kind of, quote-unquote, calling plays in a sense?
Yeah, that's like me firing Sean McVay after a year. I'm calling the plays. Why would I fire the offensive coordinator? You know what I mean? It's kind of on me. That's kind of a scapegoat kind of thing for me. When you have a defensive head coach and you fire the defensive coordinator, that's odd to me. But Dan Campbell did it last week. I mean, he took over the play calling from Johnny Morton. So it happens from time to time. So, it's just a matter of trying to get it fixed the way you want to run it. Because you only get a few chances to be a head coach in the National Football League. And if you're going to go down, you want to make it sure you go down doing your things your way.
Jay, you're the best, man. Always appreciate the time. Have a good trip.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
Be good. There's Jay Gruden, kind enough to rearrange the schedule for us today at the airport.
So Sports Junkies here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app as well. And Willingham Denton.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards.
True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Day sitting in for the Junks here on this Veteran Day. We're going to be joined live from Madrid by our guy Von Miller coming up in about 20 minutes as he joins the program each and every Tuesday here on 106.7 The Fan. Ryan Fowler, get ready to join us coming up here momentarily. Talk some Washington Commanders. And you heard Earl give us the update. During the update, Dan Quinn now taking over the play calling duties defensively. We've talked about it ad nauseum here throughout the show. I don't know what it does. Doesn't think it, you know, helps them rush the passer any better. I don't think it helps them cover any better. Feels like he's doing something just for the sake of doing it. I'm interested to see coming up on Sunday morning what type of changes we see to this Commanders defense. Still baffling to me the lack of personnel changes that we've seen based on, you know, how wildly unsuccessful the defense has been. Right now, though, let's go out to our guy Ryan Fowler, who joins us right now, one of the best in the biz, talking all things burgundy and gold. He's also a college football fanatic as well. Catch him breaking down the All 22 film on his X account at _RyanFowler_. What's going on, Ryan? How are you, buddy?
Good morning, Lynn. Always appreciate having you on, man.
Yes, indeedy. I was texting you late Sunday night, which, by the way, as I told you, this has got to be a Sunday tradition for us, by the way, bro. We got to just have some post-game vent sessions with each other because I always enjoy your opinions and analysis. Just your immediate thoughts to what we heard yesterday afternoon from Dan Quinn taking over the play-calling responsibilities from Joe Witt Jr., and how do you think it impacts his defense?
Yeah, honestly, Linnell, I don't know how much it actually does. Yeah. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, this is a little bit of deja vu. Remember when they fired Del Rio, and that week that Ron Rivera took over play-calling duties was against Miami as well. Yeah. So now you're having to face, you know, Devon Achane, Jalen Waddle. You don't have the speed to match anybody in football. And you're going to face this offense that just put 30 on the Buffalo Bills. So really, Linnell, like, I don't think it changes much at all. Now, what exactly does Joe Witt do on game days? I don't know. I think obviously a change is coming there no matter what. I think that comes after Miami. That's kind of where I'm at with things. But I don't really think it changes anything because as a defense, where Dan Quinn and Joe Witt have sat down for weeks and weeks and weeks trying to game plan against different teams and different skill sets, nothing has changed. And you still can't just succeed and execute in the most minute of fundamental details in football and defense. So, you know, Dan Quinn's not wearing a helmet. The guys that are, you are extremely deep in your depth chart right now. And I don't expect much of a difference here on Sunday morning there in Madrid.
What was probably the most disheartening thing for me this past weekend was the success that Detroit was able to have in between the tackles on the ground. And I know Deron Payne got ejected, but their run defense to start the year was a lot better, and I know having Dietrich Wise available was a big part of that, but Kinlaw and Payne have been healthy all year, and it feels like the past couple of weeks we've seen the inside-the-tackle runs really hit and have some success. Those two, to me, Ryan, have flashed nowhere near consistent enough, and then the gap integrity at linebacker has been spotty at best. Your thoughts on the run defense here, Ryan?
Yeah, I think there's a whole lot of freelancing going around right now from the front seven. You know, obviously, to stop the run, you got to be gap disciplined, you know, on whether on your front side or on the backside. And you saw that specifically against Jahmyr Gibbs, his ability to hit the backside lanes where they were just, I mean, it looked like I-95 going up to Columbia at about midnight. You know, it's just nobody around, Linnell, you know. So I just think the biggest thing with the front seven is gap discipline. And as quick as this regime really was quick to get John Allen out of the building, I respected John Allen's ability to be, you know, a gap sound football player. So I think right now when you're having a defense that's not working and you have players individually that, you know, have some egos and some guys that want to make some plays on their own and say, you know what, I'm not going to stick to the structure of this defense. I'm going to try to make some plays by myself, whether I'm supposed to be in the B and I want to jump to the C or vice versa. There's just a whole lot of freelancing going on right now. And when you face offenses that can kind of mask those that willingness to try to mix it up a little bit, if you will, on defense, and you don't have the athletes to match it, on top of the things we mentioned as far as lack of inability to make one-on-one tackles and all that type of stuff, it's just, it's not sound football. We don't have the athletes to match up, and it's just really all bad at all three levels. And if you can't stop the run, and the bottom line, the NFL, you're not going to have a successful defense.
Ryan, who on this roster do you think should be on the roster next year on the defensive side?
Yeah, I think, guys, if there's one player, I think it's one player. It's unfortunate that there's, you know, the injury, but Trey Amos, I think, has shown a lot of flashes this year, guys. He's been their best perimeter corner in my mind. You know, I think I do want to see more Jordan McGee. I mean, I respect his decision. I mean, when they hit him that angle route to Jahmyr Gibbs, right, over the middle of the field, he swapped with Bobby Wagner, and you still get beat there. But he's understanding what he's seeing, and the game's slowing down for him. So I'll say two guys. I'll say Jordan McGee, and I'll say Trey Amos on the outside.
What have you made out of Josh Connerly? I know there's a lot of people that have been critical of him. I think he's young. He's growing. He does some good things. He does some not so good things. What's your overall analysis of him in year number one?
I think he's been just fine. I think he's been just fine, guys. And I think the front five as a whole has done a pretty darn good job. And especially even in the ground game where it hasn't been perfect, but they're sealing some bodies and they're creating some alleys for these running backs. But overall with Josh, look at him on the right side, you know, changing spots, obviously, from left tackle to right tackle. It's not as easy as it looks. And I think his ability to just consistently sit in his lower half to where, at times early on in the year, guys, you know, he would try to jump set the Max Crosbys of the world or the Abdul Carters in week one. And I think now he's beginning to trust his technique a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Force guys to that outside shoulder while covering the inside and just trusting your footwork, trusting your hands, mirroring your eyes and your feet, doing the things he did well at Oregon as an elite athlete at the position. I think he's going to be just fine. I'm not going to say, is that the guy that I would have taken on day one? I don't know. There are so many more holes in this roster right now. But overall, I think he's been just fine. And I think overall moving forward, as Jaden Daniels' arm side protected for hopefully they think the next 5 to 7 years, I think he can absolutely be that.
Ryan, I talked to you about this, I believe, late last week. Or maybe it was earlier this week. Had to be late last week because this is only Tuesday. This was late last week. The 2024 draft class, if some of these guys don't pan out, what type of impact do you think that has on this rebuild?
I think it's huge. I think it's huge. Specifically, as you guys know, the prior regime with Rivera, the inability to evaluate yourself out of a paper bag. It's been abysmal. And you have to hit on draft picks specifically. You have to hit on guys in the top 100.
Yeah.
And as you're sitting here right now in mid-November where you're 3-7 and you have 6 picks next year and everyone's saying, hey, next year you're going to be good again. Well, that means you're going to rely on all those guys to hit. That doesn't happen. That's not realistic in a draft. And then you just look back to 2024 where you're asking more of Ben Sinnott and Mikey Sanrasil, has he forgotten how to play ball? Or what's Johnny Newton within the middle because he wasn't good again, you know, there this week? So I just think overall with this class, there's some players. There's absolutely some talent there. But right now it's really one clear hit for me, and that starts with Jaden Daniels and some other guys that are ups and downs. So you got to hit on draft picks. You got to hit in the top 100. You got to develop players. And the more flux that you have specifically on the defensive side of the ball, changing scheme – and other changes to the types of players that you want at all three levels as well. So it's extremely important.
Ryan, who are some of the names that are going to be available in this year's class at defensive end and maybe at secondary that we should be familiarizing ourselves with, understanding that they're now going to be picking very high in this year's draft?
Yeah, as of right now, they're going to potentially have their shot at really the cream of the crop, if you will, at edge. Now, it's going to start with Reuben Bain from Miami, really been one of the best overall players in all of college football. You know, is it for the Commanders, is it going to be a situation where you draft one of the Ohio State headliners and a Caleb Downs or an Arvell Reese to immediately fix this defense if you're in the top 10, 12 picks? I really don't think so. Where I think they're going to have to hit is in that second to third round of players, specifically at edge, where two guys for me that I really like in this class, guys that can really get after it, and I think they're going to go in that 20 to 30 range. One is David Bailey from Texas Tech. The Stanford transfer has been absolutely fantastic for Texas Tech this year. And then Cassius Howell. He doesn't fit the archetype of what Washington wants right now in the Joe Witt, Dan Quinn type of scheme, but at 6'2", 245, 250, he's that modern type of rusher on the edge. And then when you look back in the back end, a guy that I've liked for a long time is Rod Moore from Michigan. He's could declare back in 2024, could declare 2025, had some injuries, but overall, you know the type of athletic profile that you're going to get out of kids out of Michigan. He can play low, he can play high, he can play the high post. You need more athletes at the back end of this defense. You need more athletes bottom line at all three levels. So really Rod Moore, specifically on day two, along with LSU's A.J. Halsey, who was an absolute enforcer type on the back end at 225 pounds. So those are just a couple names really at edge and at safety for this roster in April.
So we got to familiarize ourselves with these prospects coming out. I want to dig into the team side of it here. We were having this conversation earlier. A caller sparked this. Is it abnormal the amount of holdover we have seen in terms of Washington scouts here? From their Midwest scout to their all their area scouts were already here before AP got here. Tim Gribble has been the director of college scouting since 2020. They really have not hit on many picks during that time period. Do you expect to see some turnover there?
I do, and I'll even say this. You know, a couple friends of mine in their scouting department over the last few years. You know, some are still there. But I will say a majority of them, unfortunately, no, for their perspective, are elsewhere now. So they have tried to make some changes. But as you said, the leadership of kind of who's pressing the buttons there when they all gather for their annual meetings in Ashburn before they set their board, you know, it hasn't been enough. It hasn't been enough because you consistently look across this league, specifically when you look at Sunday night when they played the Seattle Seahawks, the level of talent, the difference specifically in their front seven on defense.
Yeah.
They have young ball players and youth-infused, young, hungry football players everywhere. So they, I mean, six picks isn't great. They tried to sell up a deadline. You know, nobody wanted to take anything that they had.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate, and you're going to have to give yourself some more proverbial darts on the dartboard, maybe a trade back on day one. But it does start with scouting because you can hit on your top 100 picks. That's fine. But also, you got to find guys in the fourth, fifth, sixth round to come in and contribute if you are this low bottom line in talent and all three phases of the game. And I think it's just really unfortunate, guys, because you're looking at a superstar under center that is consistently getting his tail beat up, having to do everything that he possibly has to do to try to keep this football game or football team in games. And he's probably going to have to do that moving forward as well, because this defense can't simply keep teams under 35 points every single game. I think it's getting embarrassing really at all levels. And now we're talking about scouting and all the way down the analysis.
Seriously though, but for AP to be going into his third year and the director of college scouting has been that guy since 2020, like, is that common practice in the NFL?
I think one thing is common practice is the recycling of names and relationships.
Yeah.
And I'll say that. And I think right now,
Scott Fritterer.
Right, and you're looking at a little bit of a relationship right now with the Dan Quitt, Joe Witt stuff. I mean, is he keeping on to his guy as they go on a vacation trip to Spain? Is that his guy? Terry McLaurin can't show up to Northwest Stadium, but he can go to Spain. Right? You can nitpick and be petty all we want, but there's some legitimate questions here that need to be asked because you've lost four straight. You look like a 7U football team for a roster that has some talent, and you're not making any adjustments. So it really is a shame for a team. I think, again, I'm not going to sit here and say this is one of the most talented teams in football. They're not. But there is talent there, and from an execution and willing to strap up as a grown man where right now you're stealing a lot of money or stealing paychecks, You got to show up and play ball.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of guys in this football team right now that want to show up and play ball. They just want to go to Spain and get a quick vacation. That's what it looks like right now to me.
You know, from the outside looking in, I'm seeing that same thing. Ryan, we appreciate it as always, my friend. I can't wait to do this again as we get closer to the draft. I'm actually bummed that we're doing the draft talk in November, but I love talking draft with you regardless, my friend. Appreciate
it. Yes, indeed.
Absolutely. Thanks, as always, fellas.
That is Ryan Fowler. You know, I actually would be very upset if I was Joe Witten. I got fired 6 days before, really a day before that you went to Spain.
I don't think he's going to get...
He's not going to get fired.
I think he's going to be back next year.
And
just not as the defensive coordinator. I think he'll have a role change. Like,
that would be a very...
I think Joe Witt's a good coach. I just don't think he's maybe a good defensive coordinator at this point.
Right. I don't know. Well, again, I don't know that anybody would be a great defensive coordinator when you have all these injuries and guys that have struggled to make a lot of plays. One of the guys who has made some plays is Von Miller. He was a late signee this offseason. He's going to join us next. He's calling in, hopefully, from Spain. The team is out there now, so we're hoping that Von's going to be with us when we get back. He's the No Willingham. I'm Denton Day. It's the Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980.
Just want to mention one thing, because I didn't have time to do the math while the caller, Max, was on the line. Last year, if you recall, at the end of the season, regular season, and then in the postseason, Washington played one of the greatest defenses in modern NFL history. Yeah, Philly's defense at the end of last year and then throughout the postseason is one of the best defenses per DVOA in recent memory. Jaden's average QBR in those last two games against one of the best defenses in modern NFL history was 88.2. So, yeah, I think you can find some games last year against, you know, Sun Belt teams that he played pretty well against. Logan Paulson's jumping on with us right now from Madrid. First of all, how is it so far?
I mean, it's been great. It's been a ton of fun. The city's great. I will say it's a little bit of a shock getting off the plane at 8:30 and then running the day. You know what I'm saying? But other than that, jet lag aside, everything's been fantastic.
Well, thanks for doing this. Thanks for making time for us. I'm gonna read to you the text that I read to my listeners and then took calls on. You and I have texted back and forth about some of the Jaden conversation the last few weeks. So I got a text from a serious Skins fan. And by the way, he's, you know, one of these out-of-the-box thinkers. And he said to me this morning, Kevin, I've thought a lot about this. I think we should trade Jaden, max out with 3 first-round picks plus. Ride Mariota. I love JD, but I think durability is not his friend. So I've been taking calls for an hour on this. Now, the vast majority, 90% plus, have said this is insanity, which is exactly what I would say. But caller from Northern Virginia, Logan Paulson, is on line 3. What do you say?
I mean, I just say, like, you work so hard as an organization to find the guy. And there are teams that, like, you know, will sit with a guy that hasn't shown anything for long periods of time, first-round picks. Like, think about Sam Darnold when he was with the Jets, or Baker Mayfield when he was in Cleveland, kind of waiting for that moment to be shown. And I look at what Jaden has shown, and he's shown one of the most prolific rookie seasons of all time. And all of a sudden, after a mediocre season, because I think he played pretty well against the Bears. There's the fumble in there at the end that I think are going to make a lot of people mad. The Chargers game I thought was excellent. The Giants game, I thought he looked like Jaden from last year. And then the other games, he's coming off of long stretches because he's been out because of injury, and all of a sudden everyone wants to get rid of him. It just seems so short-sighted.
Not everyone. There are very few that actually want this, clearly.
Sorry. I was getting juiced up. But I'm saying, like, it's so hard for me to look at this and say, that's the hardest thing to do is find the quarterback. And we might have a guy who can do that at a very, very high level, and I want to give him as much runway as possible.
You just said might. I think we do have that guy. Do you want to amend the might or not?
Well, I mean, I do think there's always this question, right, of guys, because it's hard. An NFL quarterback's hard. There's guys that look at C.J. Stroud, for example, right? I think that's a perfect example of what we're talking about. Came out like gangbusters his rookie year. They haven't managed the offensive line there very well. The pressure is kind of – it's affecting his performance on a weekly basis. And I would say that the star that shone very brightly is a little bit more dim because you've got 2 years of kind of mediocre play. I think you still see the flashes, which keep you going and get you excited. But I do think, like, it's, you got to build an ecosystem around that player and let them grow and let them develop and let them be the dynamic player that we know that he can be. So do I think he's fully capable of it? If I was a betting man, would I say he's going to be that guy? 100%. But I do think there are other variables that need to be managed and contended. And that's one of the reasons why it's so hard to develop these quarterbacks.
Have you ever seen a season that's, you know, devolved over 10 games because of the injury bug like this one has for this franchise and this team?
You know, someone else asked me that out here in Spain, and I can't say that I have. And I'm not like this football, like history file. You know, I love the game and I love talking X's and O's, but in terms of the history of the game, I'm not that locked in. And I never played for a team like this. I've never seen a team like this. So it just seems so, like, such a steep drop off. You know, coming out of that Chicago game, it's like, man, this team has some things to clean up, but I think they are a solid football team. And then since then, defensively, it's just devolved into what we saw versus the Detroit Lions, which was kind of unbelievable to see that level or that lack of production from the defense. So I can't say that I have. And again, injuries play a huge part in that.
What did you make of the Quinn decision to essentially demote Joe Witt Jr. and take over the defensive coordinator responsibilities?
Yeah, that's something that I don't think he really wanted to do. I think he has a lot of respect for Joe Witt Jr. And I just also want to say I do feel bad for Joe Witt Jr. because I don't think this was a fair hand to be evaluated on because of the injuries. But I think, like you and I, we've talked about, like, I think something had to be done. I don't think you can have a run of games like this defensively where at times it just looks non-tenable. It doesn't seem like there's solutions. Something needs to be done. I don't know if it'll look much different because, to me, he's going to call plays, Dan. I think he might have a better feel because, again, Joe Witt Jr.'s first-time play caller, and Dan's done it at multiple stops in his career. But to me, like, when I watch the film, it's more the execution of the players, and we can have a conversation about whether that's the scheme or whether that's the players, but they definitely are not on the same page. They're definitely not kind of playing fundamentally sound football. And so I do think something needed to be done. This seemed like the most likely thing to be done. I'm glad Joe Witt Jr. is still on staff, but do we see the changes we need to? I don't have a good answer to that.
Yeah, I mean, my follow-up to that is, what do you think will, I mean, do you think that there's a chance? Look, part of it, let's be honest, the timing of it, and I'm not saying that this is what Dan Quinn sort of planned, but at least he doesn't have Kansas City, Seattle, and Detroit, you know, because you and I talked, you know, off the air leading into the last two games, and we were like, oh my God, do our fans have any idea what they're about to deal with? The Seahawks and the Lions are loaded and really good. Now, yeah, you know, Detroit was a little bit banged up in the offensive line, but whatever. At least he doesn't have to face that coming up, although the Dolphins aren't going to be easy. Like, what do you see how he can affect enough change that they look more like an NFL defense?
Yeah, I think the thing that, you know, we did, we taped the game plan today with Dan, and one of the things he said to me, which I thought was really interesting, is like, this trip has given us an opportunity to make sure our football life is right, meaning it's given us more meeting time, more practice time, more time to conversate about the game of football and how we're seeing things on the field. And like, when I talk to Fletcher, Santana, Smoot, and Springs, like, it really comes down to, we got to make sure all these guys are seeing it the same way. So even though Dan is making the transition, I do think this extra time here is going to allow them to communicate more thoroughly, make sure they're seeing looks correctly, make sure the communication on the field is correct. And if they can get some of that done, I do think, again, the injury bug is rampant on this team, on the defensive side of the ball. You can feel that every single time they're out there. But I think if they can just get to the right spots, it gets you to that bar of just kind of looking like an NFL defense again.
When you're on the sideline on Sunday, I just thought that Sunday looked different and looked abnormal, actually, as a fan watching from afar. I mean, it was bad against Seattle. The first half against the Chiefs, you know, didn't look anything like the last two games in particular. I'm wondering, with your X's and O's ability, if you can explain in the best layman's terms why on so many occasions no one was even near the ball.
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. Like, in the run game, I think, and again, this is so hard for me to talk about because I don't like bringing this type of criticism to the players, but there's times where the physicality in the run game's not there. You can tell that they're not fitting gaps correctly. That's the thing that gets me so frustrated. Like, that's a basic day one type thing. Like, we can get that fixed. I know we can get that fixed, so let's fix it. And then in coverage, you can tell they tried to simplify some of these bunches in man coverage, and they're going to lock it and make sure that this is my guy. But one of the things that made this defense serviceable and in training camp very good is their ability to pass off stuff and communicate different leverages. And so I think that was something that really kind of stood out to me, right, on the defensive side of the football specifically, is there just was a lack of a commander's level football, you know, like the physical, tough, smart. And then I think the lack of communication, again, I mentioned that earlier. And I think in an attempt to make it simpler, sometimes you make it harder on players because they don't have the flexibility to get it done. But that being said, that needed to switch too, because they weren't communicating those looks effectively when they had that luxury. So I think it was a lot of things. I'm hoping that, again, this time in Madrid and the communication they have here allows them to fix this and clean this up. But, you know, I'm watching this game with bated breath, because it seems like a big lift on a week's worth of work.
Yeah, it does. By the way, you're so kind to do this. I know you've got a hectic schedule, so you tell me when you have to go, all right? What okay. Do you have, like, another 5 minutes or not?
I got 5 minutes. For you, five minutes is fine.
All right, so real quickly, back to Sunday on the other side of the ball. You know, it looked a little bit better. You and I think talked after the Seattle game about some of the receiver situations they have, even some of Cliff's stuff. What did you think they did better on Sunday on offense that they didn't do against Seattle?
Kevin, I lied. This is the last question, but I'll answer this question real quick, and then I got to roll. My producers called me. But so what I'll say to you is this, is I thought they did a great job of kind of identifying some of the issues that Detroit was going to present. They came up with a game plan with heavier personnel, 12, 13 personnel, that got Detroit out of their base fronts. They were able to kind of bring in some new run scheme, find ways to mitigate the effectiveness of man coverage, which has been killing our receiving group. You know, kind of they found a playmaker in Treylon Burks, who is unfortunately hurt now and didn't make the trip here. But I do think, like, some of those personnel decisions, some of the run game decisions, and obviously Marcus Mariota, I think, did a great job reading stuff out, attacking zone coverage, and played some pretty gosh darn good football. So I think it's the plan, the execution. I think the offensive line is starting to gel better together. And because of all those things, I think you see a more productive, more effective offense, and one that a game plan and a philosophy that I think they can build on moving forward.
Thank you for doing this. You're the best. Appreciate it. Enjoy it over there.
Thanks, Kevin. Talk to you soon.
Logan Paulson, everybody. He's honestly, Logan's one of the best guys. And just being able to, you know, for several of us, I'm far from the only one, to be able to talk football with him and what you learn from him when you talk it with him, he's great. He truly is. Like, Cooley was that way too. Cooley had a different personality, as we all know, but the knowledge and the information about what's really going on, not just on the field in the game we're watching, but what's going on behind closed doors, you know, in the facility and what's being said, you know, just phenomenal. So I appreciate him doing that. I know he's got a busy schedule with all of his, you know, YouTube Commanders channel work. They're busy over in Madrid. A couple of things Quinn said earlier today in Madrid. If you're still on hold for the Jaden question, I guess we'll work a couple of more of you in if you want to weigh in on my friend suggesting that Jaden Daniels should be traded because durability is not his friend. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Nick Ashew, Doc Walker in for Grant and Danny on The Fan. Just made a discovery during the break. Wes looks like somebody in the news. Like, spitting image.
Yeah.
Have you put that on social media, by the way?
It was scary.
People at Virginia Tech did. Last semester.
Side-by-side picture of you and someone that's, well, in jail right now. And, I mean, it is...
Spitting.
Spitting image. You guys are twins. So, you know.
Oh, I know.
Do you have United Healthcare? I'm just dropping clues here, who you look like, that in case people don't know. Good God. I mean, it is unbelievable, Doc.
Scary.
I just, like, I'm glad that Clary came in here. Ryan was just like, does he look like someone that knew? And I went, oh, my God, thank you for asking this question. Because this is, that you guys could be, you could tell me you're twins and I'd believe it. That's all I'll say. All right.
I probably won't do that.
You probably not. Yeah, maybe not to like associate yourself with a murderer, but like at the same time, you didn't do anything. You just look like the guy, and a lot of women have a crush on this guy. So, you know, you're actually not in a bad spot. So I'll just leave it at that. That's it. All right. All right. Doc Walker, Nick Ashew in for Grant and Danny. Commanders in Madrid on their way there. Anthony Armstrong, former Redskins wide receiver, and my co-host on the Commander Squad podcast jumps on with us. And you know, listen, Anthony, we can get to the Commanders. We can get to everything that's gone on. But let's not forget that you're a Mavs fan. Nico Harrison getting fired today. Was that a shock to you? Could you believe that?
Man, you know, sometimes changes have to be made, and it may be something that was long overdue for some Mavs fan, but hey, they made the right decision because, golly, it's been a rough couple of years.
You know that because of the response or because the hole that was so deep?
Well, because of the hole, man, when you trade your young superstar like a Luka Doncic, man, that's tough. And down here in Texas, man, they love hard on their teams. Yeah, he broke something up, and you know, I mean, imagine if they were to go off and just randomly trade Jaden Daniels. Like, that would be what type of a gut punch it is, Doc. Mm. That's what it felt like. And, yeah, fan base was not being friendly. And frankly, the start of the season hasn't been so hot for the Mavs. So, you know, maybe a little change of scenery and new people in the building can kind of get some dubs for the Mavericks.
Yeah, 3-8 start for the Mavs isn't good, but neither is a 3-7 start for the Commanders. You said something to me Sunday that I thought was really kind of telling when we did our show. And, you know, you were like, is this what it felt like watching some of these teams lose that I played on back in the day? Which, first, as I established, you were never the enemy, don't you worry. But, you know, watching this Commanders team now, Anthony, at 3-7, the big thing that stood out to me has really been just this feeling of meltdown. It didn't feel that way before until Detroit. And that's what concerns me with the change in the routine and the travel and the disruption going to Madrid and a Dolphins team on top of that, too, that just beat the Bills and was real cocky in the locker room if you saw those videos after the game.
Yeah, I saw the video. I felt good for them, honestly. They needed that release, the Dolphins did, because their season is... Whereas they haven't had the injury that obviously Tyreek Hill got hurt, but like they haven't had as many injuries as Washington coming in. You got to think both of these teams felt they were going to have some pretty good seasons and it hadn't been going that way. But shoot, Miami was able to get up for a division opponent, right? They really needed to get that win for themselves and for Mike McDaniel. So shout out to them for that. But Washington, frankly, Nick, I think that travel could be good. Sometimes you need to get away. You know what I mean? You need to get into a new time zone, frankly, new language. They don't know, folks don't know what they're saying over there, right? So they can go over there and really just focus on football and hopefully come back with a W. I think, well, Miami is a team that's susceptible. You know, they've shown that, you know, Tua could get the defense, you know, give them some interception, give them some turnovers. So being able to get a new scenery, new place to play football for a bit, it could be something to help this team just kind of get back on track. And I think the way the season's been going, Doc, this is going to help them grow together even more. You know what I mean? There's been so much adversity that they've dealt with. Now they get to go and be next to each other and lift each other up and kind of grow for the rest of the season.
If you – all right, you want to go, Doc? You're thinking about something. Why are you laughing?
No. Keep going.
Okay. Doc, see, this is, you know, Anthony. Doc just randomly starts laughing, and I want to know what's going on in his head. And he's like, no, I'm just going to wait. I'm not going to say anything. Here's what I will say this, though. And, you know, listen, Doc and I very much disagree on this, and you already know where I go, but we're going to have it for this show here. I am insanely concerned about Jaden Daniels coming back to a season that's completely lost. But I understand, from the player's perspective, selling the feeling of giving up on a season if he's healthy and can't get out there and play. Right. But at the same time, there's the worry of the injury, and is it meaningless? Does the risk outweigh the reward? All of those things are what's on my head. I don't have to make the decision. What would you do if you were in that position, Anthony?
Jaden can stay over there on the sideline with a headset on. That's how I feel.
Yes.
The flukiness of the season lets me know that he don't need to get on the field. I saw a video, a fan rushed the field. He tried to get to the side. Dude pulled a hamstring. I think he's out for 3 or 4 weeks. Don't put the kid back on the field. That it just doesn't make sense. I know that there's a point where you want to see, well, if everybody's healthy, let's just end on a good note. I don't even want to risk it at this point. To me right now, it's all about evaluation. You can still, you know, go out there and try to win ball games. I mean, that's the point of playing. But just the fact of risking injury, I wouldn't want to do it. O-line's been playing pretty well so far, but it doesn't make sense to me to put him back out there when the season is pointless at this juncture.
I'm not going to disagree from your standpoint, but my leader, it's like seeing Patton come out without a firearm. You can't be the dude if you're not in full metal jacket. And he, thank God, he doesn't think the way we're talking. He'd be insulted by this.
Oh, of course. Oh, I get that. I get
that. It ain't for him. You know, I know you didn't do it for him.
Yeah.
He doesn't need it. Now, what would make me swing your side is if my offensive line was depleted. Then I would protect him. We're big physical freaks. We just need to adjust the plays that are called, in my opinion. I'm not happy with our approach, but I'll keep our people. Because I think if we turn this into a boxing match, be different. I'm Cus Kamado right now. I'm just trying to get you to work the body. That's all I'm trying to get him to do. Win from the inside out, because we got big physical people and we got them sprinting out. I just want to put us in attack mode. And I'm not convinced yet that this offensive brain trust is capable of scouting itself. Because that's what it looks like now. Like they're not scouting themselves.
I can agree with what you're saying. I know what you're getting behind. But that's even more of a reason, because if they haven't shown the ability to change their play calling tendencies, then that's even more of a reason to keep the guy on the sideline. Because frankly, it hasn't necessarily been that he's gotten hit in the pocket that's been injured.
That's true. That's true.
It's been moving around. It's been, you know, and frankly, you can look and say, okay, throw the ball away or throw the ball to somebody a little bit sooner in a couple of spots. Then you don't get hit. But, you know, I think it's more learning. You got to see somebody run the offense and then just watch Marcus do it. You know, Marcus, watch him stay in the pocket a little bit longer. Watch him operate it and learn by doing. Learn by watching in this instance. We're going to get plenty of reps in the offseason. Right now, it just don't make too much sense, man, to go put that nice Ferrari back on the road one more time.
I'm glad you feel the same way as me, but that's also, as we've talked about, scars from previous eras in this organization, and I will fully admit that those absolutely exist. Talking to Anthony Armstrong and the fan.
Both of y'all sound like parents.
And that's fine! Listen, we care, man! We care about our Ferrari, okay? We want it to be pristine and shiny and healthy and get a regular oil change. I don't know if you need to do that with another Ferrari, because I don't have one, but I'm just guessing that that's the case. All right, let's look at the game this weekend, Anthony, and again, talking to Anthony Armstrong here on the fan, Nick Ashew, Doc Walker in for Grant and Danny. We know a lot of names are out. At this point, that's been the regular every single week with this team. But, you know, you and I have certainly on Commander Squad on our podcast talked a lot about sort of the next guy to step up. And even with the lack of depth, there's always somebody. Just from an offensive perspective, obviously as a former wide receiver yourself, is there somebody that you look at now than say, like, this is their chance? Because half of that offense is out, especially when it comes to wide receivers. I mean, Treylon Burks has even got a broken finger now. A guy just got here, and he's already cursed with an injury.
Man, he's out.
Man, I saw that, and I was like, "How did you get? Where did you get hurt?"
Right.
I mean, I hope, and this is not making shade. I hope he'll heal up and come back. And he was making an impact, so I really thought he was going to have a good finish to the season. But I love to see that Jalen Lane was able to get deep. And I love the fact that Marcus Mariota was throwing the ball deep, so I would love to see him continue his success and do it over there in Spain. You even saw John Bates catch a pass or two, and then even a Ben Sinnott get into the end zone. And one of our favorites, Nick Chris Rodriguez.
Yes.
He may be auditioning for somebody else, but he needs to be the lead dog. I think he's the physical tone that you need to bring and run the rock. I think that correr in Espanol, you need to run the ball. Run it, okay? That's what you do over there. Run the rock and don't have to get too cute with it. But on the offensive side, man, let me see some Jalen Lane. And frankly, if we're being real, anybody that's out here, this is your opportunity. Robbie Chosen, like, shoot, these guys were on the outskirts on the free agency list, and now they're getting to play. I was thinking at the beginning of the season, Jalen Lane probably was going to be the fourth or fifth receiver, you know, and now he's getting all these starting reps. So this is your chance, my man. Make the most of it.
Can't argue that. People have to be allowed to play to bring out the best of them. Some guys aren't practice. They're just practice. Practice does nothing for them. They're just doing this to get your approval. But the game brings out the best of them. You can't have 70,000 in practice. It's the biggest adrenaline rush a guy can get. That's why people transform themselves on game day. If they had 70,000 in practice, you might get the same thing. But you don't. It's that uniform. It's game day, man. And I just think we got to give our backs. And Rodriguez, I said it on X. I was like, I couldn't believe he was in the game. I never seen him really do anything wrong, but yet he seems like he's being punished all the time. So if they can live with it, I can live with it. Because it's going to cost them their jobs if they're wrong.
Anthony, you said something. We got a couple minutes here. You know, auditioning for another team. Like, well, did you say that? Somebody just said that. Yeah, that was you. Okay, I'm just making sure. Yeah. And that actually, you know how I feel about it. Like, that concerns me. Like, what is it? Because, again, you're just saying this here, too. Like, it's like, people are surprised to see Chris Rodriguez on the field. And yet, when he's out there, he generally performs well. He generally gives you what you're looking for. What is it? Why do you, and again, I know some of this is speculation unless you're talking to the team behind the scenes, but it's like, why don't we see more of Chris Rodriguez on the field?
Man, I'm shrugging my shoulders over here. Like, I'm like, we're on camera, but I have no clue. Obviously not privy to being in the building, but I've always said that the stuff you see on game day is usually hours and hours of people doing this habitually.
Mm-hmm.
But he's performing well, so that makes you think he's doing the similar stuff in practice. He just probably just isn't getting the opportunity. They're probably trying to push a different narrative and get somebody else going. But in my estimation, you need to go out here and try to get this W, man. Like, go what's going to help you win right now. And that would be Chris Rodriguez. Just how he sets things up, even if you want Bill to ball. And I want Bill to have success, but he's very much a good counterpunch. Right, we need that, as Doc said earlier, you need that body punch, and that's Chris Rodriguez. And then you go with the counter punch and a little razzle-dazzle with Bill. Doing it the other way around, you know, you're getting a little bantamweight getting knocked out in the first round.
Anthony Armstrong, the original 1-3. Good to talk to you, man. Thanks for coming on.
Yes, sir. Y'all be good.
All right. Best of the family.
New episode of Commander Squad also coming out tomorrow, just in case you're wondering here. I'm glad you said that too, Doc, about Chris Rodriguez, because it's like everybody here is sitting here just like, well, I'd love to see more of him. He is the guy that I've just been pounding the table for, and we just don't see it. And it blows my mind. It really does.
Yeah, Bill's doing to get better, but Bill's still trying not to fumble.
Yeah.
So now he's running with something on his mind. When he was free flow, you can't even make it up. He's slithery, but right now he's smart. He's not trying to turn it over.
But he's also thinking too
much.
And
it's taking away his instinctiveness.
100%.
He's not the same guy. So while he works on that mentally, put the beast in there
and let him
go eat.
I would love to see more of that, especially when he's getting 5.4 yards a carry. All right, Doc Walker, Nick Ashew in for Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.